Latter-day Saints Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2012 Youth Education Conference held in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Panelists that we have. If you'd like to just come to the mic and say your name and where you went to school really fast, and then we'll turn the time over to you in a minute. But just come up right now and say your name and where you went to school.
I'm Quinn Georgia, and I just finished my freshman year at BYU.
I'm Abby Miles, and I completed 1 year at BYU.
I'm Brooks Butler, and I completed a year at Utah State and BYU Idaho.
I'm Clarissa Foxley. I'm a high school senior, but I just finished my first semester of my freshman year at Lord Fairfax Community College.
So she's fresh. She's fresh out of homeschooling. In fact, she's still in it. All right. So this is Sherry Veach's class, but I decided I would take it on because I think it is so important, and this is need-to-know stuff. So I threw together a PowerPoint. It's not that exciting. And the reason I decided I could do this class is because Sherry's handout in your guidebook is so fabulous and thorough that I'm just going to add to it some. Then we're going to have our panelists do some, and we're going to have questions, and it's just going to be a kind of a quick informational stuff. So college, know before you go. Why go to college? College is a time for huge personal growth. This is a time in your life when you are basically, most of us, are unmarried and childless, and we have time to just really focus on who we are becoming. We have a time to, it's a place for meeting people like future spouses, but not necessarily thinking that way, for connecting with future mentors, for finding resources for jobs. This is just, it's a place for meeting people and getting connected with your future. It is an opportunity to gain credentials when you graduate from homeschooling. If you just homeschool straight through, you will not have that high school graduate after your name, right? So this is a place to finally get your credentials so you have something after your name, so people will believe, you know, they won't think, oh, it's just a dropout, right? You can work at McDonald's or something, you know? So credentials, unfortunately, are still important. Okay, so lifetime learnings. High school diploma graduates, basically high school graduates, earn about $1.2 million throughout their entire life, all right? If you earn a bachelor's degree, lifetime earnings averages obviously are $2.1 million. If you earn a master's degree, your lifetime earnings go up to $2.5 million. And if you earn a PhD, lifetime earnings $3.4 million. If you get a professional degree, and this is like an MD or a JD, like a lawyer that gets a PhD, your earnings go up to $4.4 million. So that category is more like if you really specialize in something where there's a demand, that's also an important way to up your lifetime earnings. In other words, if you get a bachelor's degree in something that really no one ever cares about, then you might just not make about the same as a high school diploma holder. But so what you major in is important. But those are just averages of taking the whole group. So there is a big span there. And college people are talking about college is not that important anymore. We are over-educating, but it's really not true. It is still true that there's a big span between high school graduates and advanced degrees. So what is required to go to college? Well, this is your standard right here. That most colleges ask for 4 credits or years of math. A credit is a year of high school, 4 years of English, 2 plus years of a foreign language, and they really want that to be in just one language. In other words, not jumping around. They want it to be that you actually can speak another language. That's becoming increasingly important in our global society as we're getting connected with other countries even more closely all the time. Science, they want you to have 3 to 4 years of lab sciences. And history, 3 to 4 years of PE, got stuck on the end of that one, 1 to 2 years. In other words, they want you to show that you are active and healthy, if you know, not necessarily healthy, but PE, some sort of physical education, 1 to 2 years. Fine arts, 1 to 2 credits. In other words, for homeschoolers, that can be a year of piano lessons, a year of I was involved in a play, that type of thing. So 180 hours of work is the standard that is considered to be one high school credit. One college semester equals one high school credit, which equals 1 year of high school. So in other words, a year of high school equals half a year of college. Those college years are more more highly valued. Okay, so how do I get a high school diploma? Well, there are many ways to get a high school diploma, and we're going to just list a few of them. You can homeschool all the way through, and your mom makes up your diploma, which is what I did for my three children who have gone on to college. They were all accepted to BYU, Provo, and basically without a high school diploma. So it's kind of saying, well, we did all, you could say we did all these things, but it's not certified by anyone but us. However, there are organizations that can, in other words, I put on here, buy a transcript. What they do is you save everything that you're doing, you send it off to them. When you have like 180 hours, right? Well, like we said, for a high school credit, they will essentially award you that credit. They're certifying painstakingly each hour that you put into your schooling. You have to keep track of all of that for these organizations, so that you will eventually have an accredited high school transcript. Very expensive, and in my mind, not necessary. But it is an option. There is homeschool plus outside classes is another way to go through your homeschooling career. In our area, we can take up to two classes at the public school. And those grades, you will still be considered a homeschooler unless you have about 50% of the high school transcript or more. Dual enrollment is another option where you're going to your community college and taking classes that count for high school and college. But in my mind, if you're already getting the college credit, no one looks back at high school. It's kind of like if you get an associate degree, no one cares about your high school diploma. If you get a bachelor's degree, no one cares about your associate degree. If you get a master's, no one cares about your bachelor's. That's kind of the way it's looked at. They look at your highest degree of certification. So another option for getting a diploma is independent study courses, like BYU Independent Study has. You can get a whole high school diploma. Very expensive, but for some people that's just a good fit because their brain works well in that type of a setting. Online classes is another option. You can do online, you can do virtual classroom type of a things and get actual accredited hours toward a high school accredited diploma. And the other one, how do I get a high school diploma, is working through tutors and mentors. So it doesn't necessarily have to be your parents that are working in this. But the ones I have in pink there are options to get, I guess the online classes would be too, but that'd be a lot. Options to get an accredited high school diploma. But it is becoming increasingly true that you really do not need an accredited high school diploma. All of the colleges pretty much now have their own homeschool admission department, and they will look at each person's what you have done in your high school individually, and you will be admitted according to their criteria. It's just not that important to get an accredited high school diploma anymore. So I should have put GED on there. That's not exactly a high school diploma, but some people who don't go on to college do want that GED. But anyway, okay, so college options is our next little topic. Where do I go to school? Well, there's the church schools, obviously, the CES schools, the BYUs, the LDS Business College. Those are a fabulous resource for us as church members because they're very inexpensive compared to state schools, for example. Usually with your state schools, you're better off going in-state because your tuition is going to be way lower than going to a state school out of state. There's the Ivy League schools, which are going to run your parents' finances into the dirt, so look very closely at that, or get massive, massive scholarships. Very hard to get into those too, but they actually, several of them love homeschoolers, so they look very closely at the homeschooled population for their candidates to be admitted. Small liberal schools like SVU are a great option for homeschoolers who have really not been used to being kind of thrown into the big mix. BYU now has 36,000 students, and they do things to make it easier on you so you don't feel like you're just awash in a sea of humanity and no guidance for you. But still some people can feel that way. So we will get these guys' input on how they felt about these things in a little bit here. But community colleges are actually an excellent option for you to begin your college career because you can live at home, you can be working on these things, you still, and you can start obviously earlier than 18 at a community college, which you can with several of the others too, but community colleges can be an excellent option for you if you're feeling like you're not getting enough stimulation at home, enough growth at home. Check that out. Technical schools are actually on the upswing again. There was a period when they were kind of frowned upon, that they were just for the, you know, people who are just going to be an auto mechanic or something. But really, this nation has, as we're seeing with the Occupy Wall Street movement, all these people who have these advanced degrees and no employment because they got their degrees in something really stupid that no one, they're not employable. So that's why they're out there protesting. I'm getting too political. Technical schools are a really good way to go to get you into a career fast, and these are careers where you can make a lot of money and make a lot of money fast. So they're an option, and nobody is saying you have to stay with that career until you die. It could be a great option for you to get your life going and get a career, and then possibly you may want to go and get a more advanced degree later on. Independent study, you can do BYU college classes at home. My kids have done some of that, or through at different colleges, so that's another option for college. There's a lot of good resources out there for that. Okay, so next topic is testing. And this one is problematic for some, but hopefully it doesn't have to be. But you need to know that homeschoolers need to test well to get into many colleges. To get into BYU Provo, you need to be able to test well. And so that's why you need to start on your test prep early. And this Sherry's handout here has a lot of good information on that. But test prep books are a great resource. Memorize it like the Bible if you really want to get a great score. Online programs and live classes, there's all kinds of good helps online now for test prep. So we're going to go through this more extensively, but so your early high school tests, that you don't, we usually think about college testing as your junior and senior year, but there are some other ones that will get you in the track for getting you to be able to test well for those tests when they come. And those, if you're planning on taking the ACT, you can actually start taking ACT tests starting in 8th and 9th grade, the Explore test. The plan test is for 10th graders, and then starting in 11th grade, you could take the actual ACT, which I think you can take the ACT earlier, but this is the schedule they have set up for you. I think you can actually take the ACT starting at age 14, but I didn't check that fact. SAT, so the PSAT is quite a bit different from the SAT, but it is getting you prepared to go that SAT route. And there are test prep books for these specific tests, for the PSAT, et cetera. You can take that in October of your 9th, 10th, and 11th grade years. They're given at public schools. You just need to call the guidance department as soon as school starts, at least the beginning of September, and say, I want to take the PSAT in October. Okay, so the SAT and the ACT are big tests. Most schools take either one now, and they're very different tests, and it would behoove you to get a test prep book from the library for each test and just take a practice test in both of them, and like the whole practice test, grade them and see, because they're, SAT is more of a logic and reasoning test. ACT is very content-based. So some people's brains do great at like the logic, the puzzling kind of problems that the SAT is full of. Some people just really do well on the calculations, and that type of thing is what the ACT is full of. So I'm not going to read through this whole slide with all the information about that. But another little thing to know that you'll pick up in the test prep books, each correct answer scores 1 point on the SAT. Each incorrect answer subtracts a half a point. So you don't, a quarter of a point. You don't just fill in all the blanks. And the ACT, you do want to guess toward the end because there's no penalty for wrong guesses. So those are the kinds of things you pick up when you are going through the test prep books that you wouldn't otherwise know. And so those test prep books are gold. You really need to get your hands on one and get going. The ACT, again, there's both of those tests have an essay portion. With the SAT, neither of them are considered, the essay portions are not considered for BYU. Doesn't care about the essay portions, but you should go ahead and take them. On the ACT, it is optional if you take that essay. But you should go ahead and take them because who knows, any time now they could change their policy and say, yes, we want to know about that essay. Okay, so the SAT subject test. Now, some colleges, this is where you need to scope out ahead of time. You need to know by the beginning of your high school career what are the options, at least maybe five places you may want to go to college. Because some of them require SAT subject tests. They used to be called SAT-2, so sometimes people still refer to them as that. But there are 20 tests offered in various subjects. They're offered 6 times a year. They're 1 hour each. You just go in and you sit for the test. You register online, you go and you sit for the test. And some competitive colleges, particularly Ivy League, they definitely are going to ask for some SAT subject tests. So that's a need-to-know piece of information right there. CES schools do not require them. All right. Advanced placement is another thing that you can be thinking about when you're beginning your high school career. A lot of people think that you have to sit into an AP class to be able to take the test. You do not. You can register online and just go take it. Now, there are extensive syllabuses that tell exactly the content that would be in an AP class for a given subject. And so you could learn all about them and get ready to go take them. You get the test prep book and you study through it and you read all the things that it's asking for, and you take the tests and you get ready to take it. Now the scores on let me just make sure you know what that is. AP is where you are earning college credit by testing. And the great thing about AP is they don't count against you. So the score is 1 to 5. If you get a 3 or up, that earns you college credit. And that, if you get a 4, it's more credit. If you get a 5, it's more credit. But they don't count against you at all. Whereas some of the other options, if you take it, like for example, if you sign up for a college class and you bomb the class, that's on your transcript for the rest of your life, that you got an F in this class. And so that's not a good thing. We have 3 credits of F versus if you take an AP test and you bomb it, that's not going to count against you, but it will count for college credit if you do well. So that's the advantage of AP tests. Those who sign up for your high school also. I guess that's correct. I think I said sign up online, but I think it is you do have to go talk to your high school. CLEP is another option that is kind of going by the wayside a little bit, is my understanding. Many highbrow schools have their own tests. They don't use, BYU doesn't take CLEP credit anymore. And you have to go and take the whole concept of testing out of a class that is done at BYU. They won't take a CLEP credit to test out of a class. But some of them do, and some people can actually earn a full degree by CLEPing. This is taken after college admission, but the AP test you take while you're still in high school. And then after you get into a college, that's when they give you the credit there. So, all right, there's one more test that you need to know about, and that is the ACT Compass test. And this is a relatively new one. BYU Idaho is now asking that all homeschoolers take the Compass test, and that is kind of like a placement test for them. They're the only CES school, I think, that is requiring that now, but it may be that more will. It is not, my understanding is it's not a very hard test, okay, but it is one that you're going to have to do for that one. All right, so just so you are a little bit aware of what the average admission scores are, if you look at Harvard, the 800, there's a maximum of 800 in each of the reading, math, and writing portions of the SAT, so it's a total of 2,400, but BYU does not count the writing portion. So in other words, your top score to get into BYU would be 1,600 versus 2,400. Does that make sense? They just add together your reading and your math. In other words, that's why I put not applicable right here. But so for Harvard, you have to score darn close to 800s in all of the categories to get in. Or ACT, the top score is 36. You have to be scoring way up there on the ACT to be able to get in. MIT is even more prestigious than Harvard in a lot of people's minds. ACT, they want high ACT scores there. So Georgetown is also a very prestigious school in D.C. here, and but it is not as high. BYU, they really want you to score on the ACT no lower than a 27 as a homeschooler. These are the average of all the people that get into BYU that score 26 to 30 on the ACT. They really, if you don't score a 27 as a homeschooler, keep taking it, which is why you may want to start earlier, or score in this range on these two portions of the SAT. BYU Idaho still has a 95% acceptance rate, so they're obviously it's much easier to get in there. And their ACT scores between 22 and 28, so they're not requiring the 27. And BYU Idaho, one of my children chose to go to BYU Idaho, even though she was accepted to Provo, and she had a fabulous time there, and she has a degree in geology now, and she is just really glad that she went there. So it is not a bad choice. Okay, so how to apply to college. You need to keep track of your life starting right now, because depending on where you go, you may be asked to go have a lot of information available to admissions officers. So you need to keep track of grades that are awarded in classes, important books that you read, any kind of award that you've been given for anything, art, music, science fairs, anything starting from age 14 on. But I would even start earlier just to have it. Keep track of all of that. On the BYU applications, there's one page that says extracurricular activities, and it has everything you can possibly think of that you may have done, and whether you were awarded a local award, a regional award, a national award, whether you were the president of this, keep track of all of that, because that all goes on that page. And then on that page, there's also places to put very short, I think, 500-word essays about how you did this and how you did that and how you've developed yourself. So that basically becomes your high school transcript for BYU. And I'm sorry this presentation is BYU heavy, that's what we've done. So other colleges will want to see more of a portfolio. In fact, there are some colleges that don't care that you test at all. If you're feeling pressure, I'm not a good tester, there are plenty of places to go where you don't need to test. But what you do need to do is make your life very interesting and very full of cool stuff and keep track of it all. You're going to put together a portfolio and you're going to go meet with an admissions officer and work it out. And there is a place for everyone to go if you want to go to college. Okay, so yes, academic writing samples, extracurricular activities, service. There is a place on that page I was referring to. It says, have you done 30, 50, I think it has check boxes all the way up to 300 hours of service over your high school career. So Eagle Scout projects, personal progress, keep track of those hours because you're going to be clicking a box if you go to a CS school. Kari Brimhall.
We have a friend and she's on the admissions at BYU. Uh-huh. She says the number you need is that it's 200 service hours.
At least 200 service hours is what they're wanting.
Yeah.
That's what for the recording. Yeah, and they don't want you to make it up out of the air, too. You really do need to keep track of that. And most young men who do an Eagle Scout project are putting in at least that. So, all right, work. I just heard that the church is really pushing lately that young men who are preparing for missions get a job before your mission. They're finding so many young missionaries coming home because they can't deal with missionary life because they have never had a job. They don't know what it takes to go put in 8 hours of work, and that's what you're doing on a mission. Work is super important. If you have any way of getting a job before you get out of high school, do it. That will add to your life, it will enrich your life and enrich your pocket, and it will look good on your resume. Okay. Early admission deadline, November to December, you really want to try to get these early admissions deadlines met. The late admission deadlines is usually around the beginning of February, but if you can get everything, all your ducks in a row, get that early admission because you will get looked at more preferentially. And also the CES schools want you to be a seminary graduate. Okay, so I like this slide here because sometimes we feel like as homeschoolers we're not working as hard as the rest of them sometimes, and we're not maybe meeting up to all that they do in public schools. But look at these results, the test results. For homeschoolers is in the blue versus all test takers in the purple. From 1997 all the way through 2010, these are the average ACT scores. So homeschoolers are scoring around 2 points higher than the average, which is amazing. And This is like, these are huge samples. This isn't an aberrancy at all. So you guys can do it. For one thing, when my kids go to take an SAT, they really spend a lot of hours on that test prep book. It basically becomes school for a few months. And my kids have all scored really well and got academic scholarships just off their SAT, and we are not brainiacs at our house. We're pretty normal people. So what I wish I would have known about college way back in high school. We're going to turn some time now over to our panelists. I don't know if maybe you guys want to just come stand here by the microphone so that you, instead of just passing it around. And then you can stand up and people can see you.
Well, first thing I want to talk about, I talked about this last panel that I was in yesterday, is you need to write a lot because college is a lot of writing. You can have your mom, like, assign you things and say you have to get this done by this date. And that really helps with your time management because at college you have a lot of papers assigned and you need to know how early you need to start them and how much time it will take you to get through them. Second thing, your teachers at college are your friends. I'm not sure about all schools, but my experience at BYU was that all my teachers really wanted to help me succeed. They kind of like, at the beginning of your classes, they'll always be like really strict. Like, you can't turn in late work, or I will like dock you 1,000 points or something. But that's just, they're trying to scare you at the beginning. But most professors, from my experience, are really nice and will work with you. That's something you don't really get in homeschool because you're just kind of doing your own thing and you don't really work with your mom. At least I didn't. But yes, your professors are your friends. And the last thing, this isn't academic, but a lot of college is just living by yourself. You should learn how to handle finances because I got a bank account when I went off to college. I spent $600 my first semester, and I have no idea how. It just all went away. And, yeah.
That shocked me. When I was wanting to, when I turned 18, all of my friends were going off to colleges. And as I was considering whether I wanted to go to college or not, I knew that to go to college, you needed money. Now, there's a lot of pressure from just our society as a whole that when you turn 18, boom, you need to go. You need to go to college right at 18. But I chose to work for a year and a half while living at home, and I saved all of that money, and I was able to pay for my first semester, actually for a whole year of college, without having to work at school. And then when I came home for break, I was also able to pay for my wedding on my own. So there, if money... money is a big thing when it comes to college. BYU is not that expensive, but there are a lot of colleges that are. It's okay to take the time to save money before college because there's, now that I'm married, having, and I have some debt, because my husband and I, we were able to put a down payment on a house, which is really great, but the longer you can avoid debt, the better, especially a school one. So that's my first thought. Another thought I have is about a community college really is a great way to start because I mean, I've taken some tests. I had done driver's ed and stuff, but really I had no experience taking tests. So I was like, well, how do I measure up, you know, to public schoolers? You know, that's the question I think that all of us have. You know, how do we, are we as smart as them? Are we as capable? Community college is a great place to start because it is smaller classes, and they're usually easier. I hesitate to say that because really, you know, college, school is school, but they usually are less intense. And I was able to take some community college classes, and they were really a great confidence booster. I did really well. I got A's, and I was like, oh, I can do this. Also, if you don't want to take the ACT or SAT, you can do 2 years at community college and then transfer to a university that accepts that. It's a nice, that's what my brother did, who is on his mission right now, and it's just saved him a whole lot of headache. But if you do take the ACT or the SAT, It does take work, but, and this might sound strange, but those tests are not really testing how smart you are, because you're already smart. The ACT and the SAT are tests that you have to learn to take, if that makes any sense, because there is a strategy to it. You can't just go in cold turkey. Even if you're super smart, you can't go in cold turkey because it's how the test is given. So don't worry about if you're smart enough or not. It's about taking the time to understand, become familiar with the test, and you will probably do really well. Also, teachers are your friends. I totally agree with that.
Well, I think I have a little bit different perspective as far as what I wish I would have known about college before I went, because I was talking to Sister Brimhall when she came up and told me about doing this, is that, you know, I told her that my college experience kind of melted into my homeschool experience because I was working really hard to finish, to actually get a physical diploma so I could go full-time at my community college, because they had a requirement that you either had to be 18 or have a GED equivalent. And so I was working really hard to get my diploma, and I literally finished my diploma 2 weeks and got my diploma sent to me 2 weeks before I started college in the fall. And so it just kind of all melted into each other. And so, you know, I kind of felt like I just kind of learned as I went. But something that I wish I would have known about a four-year university is wish I would have prepared more for the thought of living with other people, I think. That the whole, because, you know, you may think about, you know, college is all about education. It's all about, you know, you're learning stuff. But also your rooming situation and who you're living with and how you deal with living with other people that you don't know, or you maybe just living for the semester, can really affect your college experience and how well you learn and how well you're focused. So if I could come back and told myself that, I would have, you know, asked myself to become more prepared for just living with other people, you know, being more considerate of other people and being more understanding of people who might not be as considerate. And so that would be my main thing to take away as far as leaving home, because, you know, the education and the other things, I think, will pretty much come naturally if you've been homeschooled. But the whole living with somebody that you've just met and you're now in close quarters, you know, for a lot of the hours of the day. But that's what I would take away.
Thank you. All right, for those of you who were in the panel discussion yesterday about college, I said a couple of these things. But for me, probably the first one I would say was time management and schedule. My mom would build a really structured schedule in our homeschool, as many of your parents may have, like a weekly schedule, a year schedule, and we'd set goals. Well, she wanted us to get involved in it, and I kind of dragged my feet in that, and I didn't really want to control my schedule and stuff. Now, I have siblings who are really good with that, and they just took advantage of that, and they set goals with her and decided what they wanted to do and what they needed to study. I, on the other hand, didn't, and I encourage you all to set a lot of goals and to decide what you're going to study that year and how you're going to do it and when you're going to complete it, because when you're in college, a lot of it has your success in your classes have to do with how you manage your time and how you schedule your studies in and your study time as well. And the next thing I would say was, Quinn said it, but writing. So in school, in college, you have to do a lot of writing. Whether you're reading something, you may have to do a critical thinking assessment on it. You have to write essays very often. You're constantly writing. So I would just say get involved with writing more. I mean, whether it's writing your journal or if you've read something great, go talk to your parents and then write down your thoughts after you read something. If you just wrote a paragraph, like after you read your history book or something, or you read a great book, go write a little paper on it. Like, that would help you a lot. Then the next thing is just take advantage of the time you have right now being homeschooled, because in your college classes, you don't always have enough time to study things like because you enjoy it. A lot of times you're studying things sometimes because you're required to study it. And there's some things that you really want to do, like I had a great history class, and I really wanted to do an in-depth reading of everything that that I was given of the material, but you can't really do that all the time, no matter how much you really schedule yourself. So right now, you have the freedom to do an in-depth study of that and be curious and explore things.
Those were all great comments. Thank you so much.
And we have now about 5 minutes to turn the time over to you, our studio audience, to find out what you want to know. What are your questions? I know I didn't address it, and I'm sure a lot of these people didn't address your questions, so what is it that you need to know? Yes?
How do you get scholarships?
How do you get scholarships? Okay, so there are, depending on the college, at BYU Idaho, all freshmen are considered just automatically for a scholarship, just depending on basically your SAT score. But every college is different, and it behooves you to get on there and find out, go to the scholarship tab on their webpage and read about their scholarships. Now, there are also many, many outside scholarships. Businesses are offering scholarships. And so whatever your parent or parents do for a living, find out if there is an avenue there, some professional organization or other that offers scholarships. Find out if you have something that you love and that you're good at. Find out if that type of a professional organization offers scholarships for talented young people like you. There are also, if you want to pay money, there are people who scholarship hunt for you and will actually take that on to find you money. But I have not been as successful doing that type of a thing as maybe I just don't know how to do it very well, but all my children got scholarships just basically off their SAT scores. And we said, you know what, the church schools are so cheap anyway, and we're happy to just pay this money to BYU, and that's how we approached it. So if you're really driven by the financial aspect of it, you can find scholarships pretty much for anyone. And what we didn't touch on is student loans and things. There's something called a FAFSA, Federal Application something. And almost all the schools will ask you to fill one out, and that will get you loans and grants. They're kind of trying to streamline it all, and we have not personally gone that road. We've never filled out FAFSA because we kind of don't think that we need that or want it. So, but there are ways to get the money to afford the education. So what other questions? And sorry, panelists, do you have anything to say on scholarships? Okay. Any other questions about the money aspect, the living aspect, the academic aspect, dealing with teachers, playing the school game? You know, I started calling it the school game after I realized that my children, as homeschoolers, you know, they just learned stuff. But a school, if you become a student at a university, you have to, like, memorize the syllabus for each class, and you have to write down on your calendar all the dates that everything is due and learn to work with the professor. If you're, like my son said, if you're turning in something late, what are the ramifications of that? Playing the school game is a skill that homeschoolers often don't have, but it really is important to not just go, well, I'm just going to learn stuff and then I'll be fine. No, you need to know what the actual, when are all the quizzes? How much are the quizzes weighted? What if I'm late on a quiz? What if I don't turn in a quiz? All of that stuff. Find it out right at the beginning and plan your semester accordingly. Other questions? I don't think we have any other questions. You guys are all ready to go to college? All right, thank you so much.
LDS Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.